Well, it appears the so-called Road to Wellness runs astride of Interstate 70 in Kansas City. The Red Sox never used to play well at Kauffman Stadium, but last year they scored 32 runs in the three games and swept the series. This year, 23 runs in three games, and again, the sweeperoonie. 55 runs in their last six games at Kauffman Stadium, seven of them on a sweaty Thursday afternoon. Seven pitchers needed to close the thing out, but the happy final of 7-5. The review, the recap, the breakdown next. This, of course, is Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. Oh, it's your daily Sox podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
Well, the Red Sox salivary glands had to be kicking into overdrive. They knew Kansas City was struggling, having lost 8 out of 9 coming into Thursday. And indeed, the Red Sox did what they needed to do. They win by a couple. They have, well, won 4 straight. Josh Lewin trying to talk over the leaf blowers at Kauffman Stadium. They're trying to clean the field and get ready for whoever's coming in next to beat them. You feel bad for Kansas City. I mean, they're just not a very good team right now. They had had 3 singles and 3 singles alone against Chris Sale in the Wednesday night game. Never got a man to second base. First time in 818 games for them, by the way. They had had a game without a man in scoring position at any point. But Kansas City now, it's 15 straight series without a win. They're 0-13 with a couple of splits. They actually led in this game 2-0, but they couldn't exactly hold on. Let's go through it as we get ready now to get the Red Sox and Tampa Bay Rays at it. They're putting on their green Gucci suits, getting on the airplane, going back home. Little Rick Ross for you as a precursor to Rick Porcello, who will get the start on Friday against Tampa Bay. But it was Danny Duffy against Ryan Weber on the Thursday afternoon game. Danny Duffy wearing the same number that Chris Sale had worn so beautifully, left-hander. But number 41 did not pitch real well. He never has against Boston. He has never beaten Boston. He's now had 8 attempts at it. And even though he got out of a small jam in the first inning, a small jam in the second inning, Mookie Betts was not going to let him survive in the third. Right after Jackie Bradley Jr. got hit in the helmet by a pitch, it was almost like payback. Mookie said, "Oh, really? That's how you're going to treat Jackie Bradley Jr.? Well, watch this." Long home run, 10th of the year for Mookie. First off a lefty all year in his 61st at-bat off a lefty, which is kind of weird. But check this out. Mookie Betts against Danny Duffy. That was a ticking time bomb. The last 7 plate appearances for Mookie against Duffy. How about home run, single, home run, home run, home run, walk, and then the home run. Yeah, 5 home runs and officially 6 at-bats with the walk and then the other hit being a single. So Danny Duffy, we said on the air, he's going to be 93 years old. He's going to wake up in a cold sweat muttering about Mookie Betts in many years. But for right now, anyway, that was the first salvo. Tied the game 2-2. And then the Red Sox went to work again. Andrew Benintendi, who had a very nice series, single to right field after Bogart struck out. J.D. Martinez a double, but is back with a little bit of a flare-up after he doubled into the left field corner. Had to be pulled because of back spasms. Everybody's got a back spasm now. Or worse than that, Mitch Moreland trying to come back from his sore back. You've got Steve Pierce not quite ready to come back from his back. So that's back-to-back on backs. As the Red Sox worry about Martinez a little bit, Sam Travis came on. But then it was Rafi Devers that punched in a couple other runs in that inning. He singled very sharply to right center, 112-mile-an-hour exit velo. As Devers just continues to sizzle. His slugging percentage the last 3 weeks is .740 now. A good slugging percentage is probably about .550 or .600. Last 36 games, he's now got 36 runs batted in. He had 3 runs batted in his first 24 games. And Rafael Devers, this was beautiful. After the ball game, talked to Will Fleming, who, as you're about to find out, is bilingual. And you wouldn't think with a name like Will Fleming he would be conversant in Spanish, but he is. Our star of the game was Rafael Devers. Enjoy the byplay with Will here. Here you go.
Well, back here at Kansas City, the Red Sox have swept the series here, a 7-5 win today. And we have as our guest the guy who drove in the 2 runs that put him ahead with a 112-mile-an-hour single and the American League Player of the Month for May, Rafael Devers. And We'll turn it over to now Will Fleming, who will do the translating for us with Rafi.
Conversar con nosotros. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Gracias para hablar con nosotros.
Sí, gracias a ustedes.
Bueno, has estado tan caliente al bateo recientemente. You've been so hot at the plate lately, Rafi. To us, it looks like the control of the strike zone is the most important thing. Nos parece que para controlar la zona de strike ha sido lo más importante. ¿Cómo pasó eso? How did you accomplish that?
Yo estuve trabajando en todo esta temporada con el hitting coach Jaye y los demás coaches. Y nada, fui adaptándome a una zona de picheo que gracias a Dios me estoy sintiendo mucho mejor, buscando una zona. Y nada, gracias a Dios por todo.
He says that he's been working very hard all year long with Tim Hyers and the entire coaching staff, and that it's allowed him to really focus very hard and find pitches to drive in the strike zone. And thanks to God, he's been able to do that. Rafi, the next thing we want to ask you is about your defense, which has been equally impressive. And really, in the month of May and into June, you've just been absolutely brilliant defensively. Segundo, nos parece que igualmente importante es su defensa. ¿Y hay algo específico que ha cambiado en esa parte de tu juego?
No, tuve que, mientras yo, gracias a Dios, me gusta aprender mucho y mientras más van pasando el tiempo, trato de aprender más. El año pasado tuve muchos errores, tú sabes, errores que no debía cometer, y este año, gracias a Dios, estoy aprendiendo a eliminar poquito a poquito, como toda la jugada de rutina, no la puedo fallar, pero si hago una jugada, está bien y hago error, pero la más importante son las jugadas de rutina.
You know, Rafi tells us that he's very aware of the fact that it's just focus and work ethic and putting in repetitions, and that he knows that the nature of baseball is back and forth. There will be errors, there will be mistakes made, but the thing that he is focused the most on and that he knows he's got to improve on and he's very proud of is that he's gotten better at the routine play, which helps him go forward. Last question for you, Rafi. La última pregunta para ti. Alex Cora... No dijo que ha parado dando las tarjetas de regalo para los gran momentos. Nos parece que necesita seguirlo, ¿no? It looks like Alex Cora may have to start giving you gift cards again, huh?
Yeah, ya no la uso, me siento mejor así, sentada.
Perfect. Well, muchas gracias para hablar con nosotros, Rafi. Thank you so much and congratulations.
Thank you.
And just last thing, guys, he just said, it sounds like maybe I need to talk to Alex about getting some more gift cards. So back to KC, yeah. To Joe and Josh.
Well, he certainly earned them. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Will Fleming. Thanks to Rafi Devers. I could not pull that off in a million years. So I go back to the old Steve Martin album. I'm that old. It's basically Casa de Pepe is all I got. Donde está Casa de Pepe? But Rafael Devers he's up to 40 runs batted in now. And I really think is going to have that 30 home run, 20 stolen base season. And the batting average sitting at a cool .318. So no complaints about Devers, as Will mentioned. The defense continues to sparkle as well. So back to the game. It was 4-2 at that point. But Ryan Weber only lasted an inning and a third for the Red Sox. Gave up 5 hits. And then it was a parade. I love a parade. Colton Brewer, 2 innings. He ended up getting the win. Marcus Walden after that, Brazier, Josh Taylor, Heath Hembree, Barnes in the end for the save. 1 walk against 11 strikeouts in this game for Red Sox pitching. And they would need to extend the lead. They did that with a 3-run 7th inning after Benintendi struck out. Bogaerts a walk and a stolen base. And eventually Devers would be intentionally walked. Christian Vasquez a triple up the alley in right center. Billy Hamilton a terrible route to go get it. He's supposed to be an outstanding center fielder like Lorenzo Cain was here, but that was not it. He just did not have a strong defensive series at all, and he was running around like a drunk moth or something out there. Just he had no idea which way he was going, twisted his way left and right and up and back, and finally the ball rolled up the alley. So a triple for Vasquez, his first triple in 2 years, the last one also against the Kansas City Royals. So it ends up a 3-run inning because a wild pitch would then get Vasquez on home. That made it a 7-3 game. Then you think that's plenty, but the Kansas City Royals had other ideas. They pecked back. They got a run in the 8th, a run in the 9th, and made it a game. They hit 3 home runs in this game, and that's 2 more than the Red Sox did. But The Royals just couldn't get the big hit. They actually ended up out hitting the Red Sox 14-9, but they stranded 10. Adalberto Mondesi, that's a really tough one. He stranded 7 all by himself. Whit Merrifield had a rough series. He stranded 6 all by himself, and he struck out to end a threat in the 8th. That was kind of a big moment in the game when Heath Hembree got him. So it is a sweep. The Red Sox went 15 years in Kansas City without sweeping the Royals. They've now done it back-to-back years. And, mild concerns here and there. We mentioned the back problem for Martinez, the fact that Ryan Weber, after his 6 innings of 1-run ball against Toronto, it's now been 5 innings of 9-run ball ever since. And he's not a kid. He's 28 years old. He looks like a kid. He says he still gets ID'd every time he tries to buy a lotto ticket, but it just kind of seems like the clock might be close to midnight on Ryan Weber. I wouldn't be surprised if the Red Sox made a move heading into the weekend just to get another arm up. You've got 4 games in 3 days, which we'll talk about momentarily. But first, Alex Cora meeting the media after the game. Here's what AC had to say.
They did an outstanding job. Some big outs there with traffic, some swings, some misses. It wasn't perfect. We wanted actually more from Weber, but just didn't happen. And then Brewer did a good job. Waldy came in, did outstanding. JT, although he gives up the home run, he gives 3 outs there, which was huge. We got 27. We had the lead, and now we move on.
How important was it there? Performance
that Chris did. We talked about it yesterday. He put us in a great spot, to do this. Obviously, it's not perfect. It wasn't perfect, but it is what it is, and we feel that going into the weekend, we should be fine.
Just the game dictated there that you couldn't use Schwarm?
Yeah, you got to keep the long guy. We felt that we weren't scored runs, and Mookie goes deep, and we're right in the game, so it can't burn your long guy. So we went with our guys, and we kept them back there.
Could he pitch Saturday?
He can pitch Saturday. He can pitch tomorrow. So, yeah.
Brewer in the 2nd and Walden in the 4th both inherited big-time jams against the top of the order. And how impressive was it?
Yeah, it gave them a different look. Just one throws curveballs, the other one sliders, have more sinking action, cutter action, so you're trying to give them a different look. And we got some swings, some misses there, and they've been throwing the ball well.
I feel like the offense is a little more balanced lately.
We're not there yet. We're not there yet. I do feel that we put the ball in play in certain situations today. Christian late in the game with 2 strikes puts the ball in play. Obviously Mookie with a big swing, but that right left thing, obviously today was a little bit different, but when we decided to go with Mookie and Benny 1-2 and hitting Rafi 4th and Brock 6 and JBJ 8th, you see the balance, and it's good for us. It's not saying it's tough for the opposition, but you got to think about if you're going to bring a specialist for a lefty or especially for a righty, because then the lefty is right behind him. He's doing okay, back spasm, so probably going to be a tough flight for him, but we'll know a little bit more tomorrow. He wasn't in a swing. It was when Rafi hit that line drive, when he turned around to see the flight of the ball, kind of like he felt it, and I was like, it doesn't make sense for you to keep playing. So hopefully it's nothing, and he'll be able to play during the weekend.
He's been having these since spring training. Has it become any more challenging to advance?
Not really, but we don't like it. Obviously, we're treating him and trying to keep him on the field. But we'll see how it goes.
First sweep for the team since the end of April. What kind of momentum does this build going into the long time span?
We'll see tomorrow.
As for Mookie, you mentioned you had the good swing there. Is he still sort of searching for that?
Something I like the last 2 days, he's swinging the strike zone. He didn't chase any pitch out of the zone. Obviously, he squared that one off, the other ones, whatever. But he's swinging a little more in the zone, which is good, that's something we like. And we'll go home, hopefully, hit a few line drives off that wall and get going.
4-game winning streak today on the road trip. How do you assess that after kind of the 4-game losing streak?
You just keep playing good baseball. We got to get better. On Sunday, it seems like it was going to be tough. Everybody was talking about 10 and a half games back and all that stuff. We just have to play better, you know. And when we feel like we're clicking and playing our brand of baseball, then we look and see where we at. It might be 8, I mean, it might be 2 games. But just keep getting better and trust the process, and we should be there.
Any update on Eovaldi?
No, we're going to meet tomorrow. Yeah.
All right, there is the manager, and now we can look ahead and preview Tampa Bay and Boston. And the road team has won every game so far this year. It's been 5 games in the series. Rick Porcello, 4.76 ERA, is going to get the call Friday. Tampa Bay likely to do that wacky opener thing. We know we're going to see Blake Snell on Sunday. But then, again, they're TBA and the day-night doubleheader Saturday. The Sox are partially TBA. They've got the X-ray, if you will. David Price will go in the afternoon game. With a 2.83 ERA, by the way, but the Sox are yet to announce on the Saturday evening game. So, Tampa Bay, they're now 4.5 ahead of the Red Sox. I'm sorry, 5 ahead of the Red Sox, because they won themselves on Thursday. Getaway day for them in Detroit. They're 37-23. And just kind of looking at them position by position, Mike Zunino has been what they expected. He's been a good defensive catcher, can't hit. 190 batting average, only 3 home runs. Brandon Lau, the second baseman, he's Michael Chavis's competition for Rookie of the Year right now. He's got a slugging percentage of .510. He's hitting .272. He's got 11 home runs. Good player. Willie Adames at short, very solid. Daniel Robertson, not a great year at third base. He's only hitting .204. But Tommy Pham, a .300 hitter. He's their left fielder. Kiermaier not hitting for average, but he's getting on base, and he leads the team in steals. Then you go to Avisail Garcia. What a nice pickup for them, hitting very close to .300, 11 home runs. The team leader in home runs is Austin Meadows, who came in from the Pirates. He's got 12 homers, 37 runs batted in. He leads the entire American League in OPS. It's close to 1,100. He leads in batting average as well. These guys picked up Travis d'Arnaud. He's been nice behind the plate. Of course, Andy Diaz is a strong bat for them, the former Cleveland Indian. He's got 9 doubles and 9 homers. So Tampa Bay, which, remember, won on the road before at Fenway. They took 2 out of 2. Now they're coming in for 4, and it all starts on Friday night. But at least the Red Sox seem like they've kind of reset. They turned off the computer, turned it back on, and now it's operating a lot better. They're 33-29. I've already given them credit for one more win. It's a 4-game win streak. They're 27-16 since that 6-13 start. They're hammering home runs. And I guess the bottom line is not every series can be against the Kansas City Royals. So they got to funnel some of this into Fenway, where it's not just the Tampa Bay team coming in. It's the other T team. It's Texas. And the Rangers, obviously a nice surprise this year. They're going to come in above .500 as well. Many thanks to those of you, just before I go, who participated in Bing Joe. If you didn't see exactly how that came to an end, we'll recap, I guess, as we get along. But we were soliciting your thoughts about what we could do to get Joe a little bit of love and just kind of flatter him on the air, talking about all the cool things he usually says during the course of a broadcast. And we made up Bing Joe cards. We played the game on the air on Thursday, not for cash prizes or anything, but just to try to hear him say fantasy camp, and that Matt Barnes went to UConn, and that Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame. And also, you guys had some great suggestions. Appreciate that very much. Always fun to play some parlor games when we have the broadcast on WEEI. But podcast-wise, this one's over. Thanks again for tuning in. It's called Sox Daily. Tell your friends. We'll talk to you again soon. I'm Josh Lewin. Bye-bye.